From our family to your family, this is A Legacy of Faith, the podcast.
Welcome to A Legacy of Faith, a podcast designed to help your family survive the day, plan for tomorrow, and always keep an eye on eternity. We're glad that you have joined us for episode 104 of the podcast, and the best news is Leah is back with me this episode.
Thank you.
And I had a solo episode last time because we were busy. Hashtag life.
Yeah, what was going on?
We had just all kinds of stuff. We really couldn't get our schedules together.
After Lights Leaders or...
And you were getting ready to go to the Preacher's Wives Retreat and so on and so forth. So tell us how that went, because I actually had that on the notes if you want to talk about the Preacher's Wives Retreat a little bit.
It's always good. It's good to be with like-minded women and be able to spend at least a couple of days with women who, you know been in places in life that you're in, and there's older preachers' wives there that have been there and done what you're going through, and then there's other younger, you know, one not that young anymore, there's ones that are younger than me, and so we're it's just a good time. There's a lot of good encouragement that goes on, lots of good classes, and the speakers are always great. It was Denise Martin this time.
Mm-hmm.
Next year is Kathy Pollard, so
I know her.
Yeah. And so, anyway, it's really good. Why do
preachers' wives need a retreat? Get away from their husbands?
No, it's more just to strengthen you. You know, we've talked about that before, that there's really, I mean, unless you are super, super blessed, and some are, but a lot of times you don't have anyone you can talk to, you know, at least another woman, that about the things that are burdening you. I mean, I'm not saying that we couldn't and shouldn't share with those, especially, you know, like places, like share with an older Christian woman and seek advice and counsel. But there are certain things that just no one else is really going to understand, you know. So it's just kind of nice to be able to see and interact with those women that, you know, you can talk to, and they get it. They get what you're feeling and what you've gone through at sometimes, and you can encourage them and they can encourage you. So it's really good.
And stay up all night?
No.
Did you actually sleep this time?
Yes.
Okay.
One retreat, and you act like every retreat I ever go on that I never sleep. And I sleep at all of them. Stay up later than normal, but go to sleep.
So you stay up
to
like, what, 4 or 5?
No. Why are you picking on me? Because I don't go to bed at 10 o'clock.
That's right. Scriptural time.
10 o'clock, folks.
That's right.
If I go to bed later than 10 o'clock, he acts like I'm a night owl.
You are.
Like 10:30.
That's late.
Okay.
Hezekiah chapter 4. Very clearly.
I really am usually always in the bed by between 10:30 and 11. You would think I stay up like after midnight every night, the way Adam talks to people.
And yes, I'm one of those that I do not want to see New Year's Day come in. I want to go to bed. That drives me crazy. Let's see the New Year. I will at 6 o'clock when I wake up. Either that or I'll be in heaven. Either one will be just fine. I hate staying up late. It drives me crazy. Which as a sports fan sometimes is hard, because sometimes some of the better games are on late at night. But, oh well.
Yeah.
I don't watch that many. I actually don't watch that many sports. So. But the Yankees are playing. Can we talk about the Yankees for a while?
Could we talk about the Yankees? You could talk about the Yankees, but I don't have much to add.
No, they're on a great winning streak. It's a lot of fun right now. The other big news since we recorded, and we won't spend a lot of time about this because we don't want this to turn into, you know, just, you know, our life story, but we're moving.
Yeah.
We've not said that on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes. We're going to be living in Kentucky.
That's right. We're going to be moving to Paducah, Kentucky sometime this summer. Still not a firm date set yet, but at some point this summer. Moving to preach at the Central Church of Christ, which sounds familiar to our regular listeners because my dad preached there for 16 years. So we're excited about that. And we're actually not going to talk about that much on the podcast because that's, you know, this isn't just our life story, but we're excited about that. Well, I will say it may mean our schedule recording sometimes gets a little thrown off because, for one thing, we don't know when we're going yet. But sometime this summer we're moving there, and we're excited about that. So That's the big news in our lives.
Yep.
Leah, is chivalry dead?
It's dying. Maybe not dead completely.
We usually on the podcast, I say something like, you shared an article on Facebook. Well, actually, I shared this article, and then you reshared it because you liked it too. This was an opinion piece, and I want to make sure to say it was an opinion piece. It's actually on Fox News, but it was just an opinion article. And I can't remember how I found it. I don't think I was actually on Fox News. I think I was just searching for something and stumbled across it. But it's an opinion piece by a lady. That's important to remember. This is a woman who wrote this. And the name of the article is pretty controversial in and of itself. The name of the article is Chivalry is Dead Because Women Killed It.
Mm-hmm.
Ouch. First of all, Leah, when you think of chivalry, what do you think of? Because that's a term we don't use all that much. I'm not saying it's good or bad whether the term is used, but what's kind of defined the term here?
Chivalry is knowing. Well, I know where it originated, actually.
Oh, here we go. Homeschool mom.
We were just studying this, yes. It was the code of honor for a knight and how he was supposed to treat women anywhere and everywhere.
Right.
And they were... There had been unruly knights, and it was becoming a problem. Them just, you know, being abusive and just callous, and I can't remember the details of it. But someone basically put a stop to it, and they wrote this code that knights had to live by back in the medieval times. And so, and so they made certain, you know, policies or rules or whatever, that this is how you would treat women. And so that's where the phrase actually came from.
And then it grew
chivalry.
From that into just generically,
yes,
how
being, you know, chivalrous.
Right. And so it started as an actual code.
Right.
But it grew into basically being a gentleman,
right,
and treating,
yes,
a lady like a lady.
Right now we think of it as opening the door for a woman.
Being mannerly. Old school, yeah, manners.
Letting her walk through a doorway first, or pulling out a chair if you're sitting down at a table, or taking your hat off, or tipping your hat even if you meet a woman, or
walking on the side of the street instead of away from the street.
I was standing up if a woman enters the room, mm-hmm, to greet her.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that that some people may not even know that actually is a proper,
right,
way to treat a woman. But it was an actual code that this is how you're going to treat a woman.
Yeah. So the author of this article, says she came across a note, an old school like telegram, where a man had written his lady, and, you know, I long to see thee, and all that, you know, all that kind of old school stuff. Very lovey-dovey, but also very, you know, respectful and just honoring the woman and so on and so forth. And then she said that several days after she came across that note, she came upon a note on Facebook where somebody had replied to a video, and their comment was, chivalry is harmful to both men and women because it reinforces the idea that women need to be helped or saved by a stronger man, and it takes away a woman's agency. Now, the powerful thing about this to me, Leah, is that the article, not that quotation, but the article itself is written by a woman. This is not some man going, would you please be quiet and let us be men? This is a woman going, what is wrong with us? Where we're not talking about being overbearing towards women. We're not talking about superior, inferior. What you described a moment ago is simply elevating because it is showing respect and deference. And, you know, to go back to the code of the knights, it's putting your life on the line, you know, beyond just the manners. It's putting your life on the line for, you know, your lady love, or really just ladies in general.
And taking the responsibility to protect women. I mean, really, if you're going to be honest, it was just taking care of them and making sure they were honored. What you read about the quote, I think that's the problem I think a lot of women have had with it, is that they it's illogical. They misinterpret the, you know, I mean, honestly, that quote you just said where, I scrolled
down,
right,
sorry.
But where that a woman needs, it's the idea of a woman needs to be helped or saved. So if you open the door for her, you're saying you can't open it for yourself. That's so illogical. I mean, whatever happened to here, you know, take my seat, or, you know, you can't stand for this long. You know, it's, you shouldn't have to do this. Mm-hmm. Let me be willing to do this. I'll let you have the seat, or I will show you the honor of entering a room first. I mean, you know, I don't see how women tell themselves that that means that the man is saying that they can't do something or they're not as strong. You know, I don't understand that. I really don't, but.
Well, the point we're trying to make in bringing this article up is, you know, a lot of this really, you said, you know, the word chivalry goes back to, you know, a code, you know, of the knights and so on and so forth. But in reality, whether you want to use the word chivalry or not, that, you know, we could argue that all day long. Who cares, you know, what the actual term is? But the concept is actually biblical, that, you know, there is a sense in which, especially in the husband-wife relationship, you know, you go to Ephesians chapter 5, it is, you know, husbands love your wives, wives respect your husbands, but there's more to it for the husbands than just have love. It's as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. You know, there is a sense in which, whether it's opening the door or whatever, that your life, you know, Leah, your life as my wife, I got that out, I'm proud, is more important to me than my own. You know, I put my life on the line, but that should manifest itself in more than just, well, she knows I die for her. It should manifest itself in how I live for her, you know, mm-hmm. and whether it's, you know, whatever the manners happen to be or whatever the mannerisms happen to be, that's how it should manifest itself. It's not just that I'd be willing to do the one big act, you know, of giving my life up or whatever. It's also that, no, I'm lifting you, I'm honoring you, that's a better way of putting that, by things that, yes, society, but, you know, generically says, this is a way to show deference and honor and respect to the one that you said I love more than myself, mm-hmm. you know, or really technically Ephesians 5, I love as myself, right? And so that's what it boils down to, is this isn't just, well, that's just, you know, old, you know, agrarian or old, you know, old English or old, you know, whatever the terminology has to be. It's actually grounded in a biblical ethic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're losing, is that ethic that in the husband-wife relationship, but also just in society in general. You know, if you read through Scripture, it makes it very clear that, yes, men are to be the leaders, but how do they lead? They lead by serving. I mean, there are times where they lead from the front, but in reality, they lead by being willing to give up themselves in that leadership role, not domineering, but serving. You know, and that means sometimes that we do some things that may seem backward to society, but it's because I want to serve in that way. Like, you know, giving up the, you know, seat on a bus or a subway, mm-hmm. or whatever. That may seem backward to society, but it's not, I'm saying, like you said, you can't stand that long. It's saying, I think of you enough that I will stand in your place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've lost.
Right.
And so let's bring this now to parenting. How do we instill this concept in our boys and our girls? That this really is a thing. It really is an important thing. But they're going to be fed from society. You know, Mary Carroll as a girl, you know, no, you don't let any man, you know, ever do anything for you, because that's a sign of weakness. How do you combat that when that is the messaging of society constantly, and it's just being force-fed to us?
I mean, you have to show by example and teach just by words, too, that it's okay for that to happen. And, you know, the article mentions that the thing that I think makes it harder for the world to accept this, but that it is okay for there to be a way that men act versus a way that women act. And, you know, our kids are raised in a world right now where there's not any difference in men and women. You know, just it's the same.
Well, it's almost swapped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've almost made it where women are supposed to be the super strong ones, and
right.
for a man to be a man, supposed to be kind of effeminate, soft. You
right.
know, we've almost, you know,
right.
swapped places.
And so I think we show them by teaching, you know, by talking about these things right here, talking about what it is. And, you know, you just, I think you have to come, and I don't know if there's deeper. Sometimes I wonder if one reason it bothers women so much is that they don't feel worthy enough themselves for that to happen to them.
What do you mean? I think I know what you mean, but...
Well, I don't know. You're making it... Because, you know, I can't ever understand why people see it as someone thinks you're weak, that they're wanting to do something. We don't say that in any other aspect of life. If somebody wants to bring me a meal, I wouldn't automatically sit back and think, well, they think I can't cook, or they think I'm not a good cook, or they think this, or they, you know, I would just right. be willing to accept it because it's a, in which it's offered, you know, it's just a nice thing to do. Mm-hmm. But I think the hard part about it for women to accept is that that's part, it is part of it, is that it's the man showing it to the woman, like they're making a difference in you. And I think a lot of women don't want that difference to be there, maybe. They just, I don't know. That's coming out all jumbled up. But maybe they just don't want it to be, you know, put in the spotlight in that way. They don't want to know the man has given up anything for them. It's not so much, that makes me feel weak. They just don't want, it puts you, like, in a vulnerable place, I guess. Like, mm-hmm. he's giving up that for me, and... that makes me feel weird, and I wish I could mesh rewind because I have this thought in my head and I just can't get it out.
Well, I get what you're meaning, though. It's, you know, it can seem like that he's, you know, it makes you feel weird because, you know, usually it's stuff that you could do for yourself.
Chivalry yeah. is not give and take. It's not like you do this for me right. and then sometimes I do that for you. Chivalry is a code, like we've said before, that it's a man giving something to the woman. Mm-hmm. So it's always the difference is made, you know. And I think our world is just wanting there to be no difference. And, you know, I don't know. I still can't get the thought out. It's just in my head. I can't get it out.
We got the point. I mean, it's good.
I'll come up with it when we're on a different topic, probably.
We finish recording?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We'll do an appendix to the, an addendum to the podcast, episode 104 and a half or something. Mm-hmm. Like Lion King 1.5. But, you know... You're right, and it becomes, you know, it comes down to the idea of selflessness. But and one of the points she's trying to make in the article is when women just don't expect that, but more than just don't expect it, when they just say, "I'm not accepting it because there's no difference in, you know, men and women," then it's no wonder we're raising a generation of young men and men who have no idea what it means to, you know, be chivalrous, to, you know, to have those old school. That's why they're old school manners.
Right.
It's because people, you know, they're not expected. And they're not expected by the women. You know, why, you know, if a boy, a teenage boy, college age boy, and I hate to use this terminology, but doesn't have to, you know, open the doors and that sort of thing, why would he?
I think what we have to do, you know, you mentioned like what, you know, as parents, what does it mean? I think we just have to, as a family, we write down things that you want your son to know. And write down things you want your daughter to know about how to expect to be treated. But you just have to do it. And I think, you know, here's a shocker. I know what this article is saying. It is dead because a few women have killed it. I think most women would welcome and be appreciative if they're walking into, you know, a store and a gentleman mm-hmm. pauses, opens the door and says, you know, after you. Mm-hmm. I mean, most women are going to say... thank you.
Or they're not going to think anything.
They're not going to be offended. They're not going to be against it. But we right. have had a few loudmouth women who've killed it and mm-hmm. who make every other man feel like some woman's going to slap them for insulting them in that way. And I think we need to tell our sons that most women are not going to feel that
right.
way.
Right.
And just let them be clear on that. And then just say, this is how you're going to treat women, no matter if they act that way or
so
not.
So you started a list a minute ago. What kind of things are we talking about? You mentioned opening doors.
I would say pausing to open, not just, we think about opening a car door, of course, you know, if right. you're with a woman, but just in general in society, you know, if you have a man and a woman walking up to the store or any door entering a building or whatever, you know, it's happened to me before where the man just walked on in and the door is just closing in my face, mm-hmm. you know, and... we need to teach our sons that, you know, you stand there and let her walk in first.
Right.
You know, let her and make eye contact, you know, how are you, whatever. But it doesn't have to be a big deal. But you just, that's polite. It's polite, even if it's not a woman, actually. But, you know, just to do that. And we need to just make sure they see that. I mean, they need to see examples in their fathers doing right. that. So, but we need to teach them doors. To do that. Opening doors.
I was trying to think of some others you said a few moments ago.
I mean, I'm an old-fashioned girl. I mean, and it would be totally awesome if, I mean, I never see this. But, you know, a long time ago, if a woman walked into a room, like into the living room or something with a bunch of men saying, guess what would happen? They would stand up to greet her. And that never happens anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just think it was it's just showing respect is all it is.
Right.
For the place you play in society, you know, and that is what people miss so much is that women play an important role in society, and it's not a weak role, but we've had people like just twist and turn like all this stuff to make it feel, to make women and men even look at sometimes women as they've played an unimportant role in society, and we're the givers of life, you know, and that should be honored. Mm-hmm. And our role in a family should be honored. And these little things were exactly why these things were put into place. It was to show that women are worth protecting and honoring. You know, you read story after story growing up, and the kids are, you know, or even in the Bible, you know, the women and the children are protected.
Right.
They're put in the back to be protected. You know, the men go first to be the protectors. And, you know, I wonder if we can't even say that anymore. I mean, I'm going to be really politically incorrect and say we podcast. Have women on the front lines, you know? I mean, we don't even have that in our society to where women are at home being protected instead of being out there, you know. They can do it. They can do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are doing it. And they can be tough, but doesn't mean that they should. It doesn't mean that they have to, or that that's even an appropriate thing for, you know, a society to implement, that just any and everyone. I mean, it's just saying, you know, to me, it's worth something for someone to say you're worthy of being protected. Mm-hmm. Not because you're weak, because you're just that important. But
I mentioned one, well, those manners things a moment ago that has always been interesting to me because of how long it's been in culture for different reasons. It was, you know, when a man and woman are walking along a street,
mm-hmm.
that the man walks closer to the street. And we think of that as because if a car swerves or if there's a puddle,
mm-hmm.
you know, that he would take the car, you know, he would be killed. But also if there's a puddle or, you know, the car hits some mud or something, he would get dirty or wet and she wouldn't. I have heard before that manner actually grew out of a time when two things were going on at the same time, and it kind of speaks to this whole idea of protection and so on and so forth, that, and this may not be 100% accurate, but I've read this before, that it grew out of a time where, of course, people were riding around in carriages, well before cars, you know, horse-drawn carriages and so forth. And so, obviously, you think of puddles, mud, mm-hmm. and everything, but also in a time, and this is gross, but it's true, where people were literally throwing their trash and things out of upper windows of houses just into streets, like the sewer systems in the streets. And so if someone threw their trash out, the man was the one who caught the trash.
Hmm.
And the woman was protected being, you know, up closer to the building.
Hmm.
And so it became, you know, I'm willing to be like literally trash, you know, in order for the woman to be safe, protected, and clean, and so on and so forth. And that may not be 100% accurate, but it proves the point. It's one of those things that just, you know, it's not a superior inferior. And really it's saying, I'm willing to be inferior. You know, I'm willing to lower myself in a way, but really it's more, I'm willing to raise the lady. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's going to be the one, if that's true, I'm going to be the one to catch the disease. You know, when the trash lands on me, all that stuff, or, you know, or I'm going to be the one that has icky stuff that can make me sick or whatever. She's not. She's going to be clean. She might get one little thing on her sleeve or on her arm. I'm going to be covered in this stuff, or mm-hmm. I'm going to be covered in mud. You know, that who knows at that day and time what could be in the mud.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be covered in that. And she's going to be okay. And so even that is, I'm putting myself on the line anyway for her.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we've spent a long time on this, but I think what you said at the beginning is the key. It's not dead, but it's dying. And this article just totally jumped off the screen at me because this was a woman saying, in many ways, let's be honest, it's both genders' fault, because, you know, even if women don't expect it, men should have the, you know, the gumption and the, mm-hmm. you know, the, hey, I'm going to be a gentleman. But you can't fully blame men for just going, why try if
well,
I don't have to?
It goes back to what I was saying. If men are, if God has put that into them to be the protectors, and they know that, and they feel like, as a whole, women don't want this, it's going to be their natural reaction. They want to still please and protect the women, so let's don't do this. But it just has backfired into a lack of respect for women, and it's backfired, you know, from just the intentions of what it was to just people are afraid to show it. And you know, like I said earlier, that it hasn't been because most women were saying, no, we don't want this. It was just a few loudmouth women that kind of ruined this over a few decades of, you know, don't treat women that way, don't treat us that way. And so men just in their ways and wanting to protect women just quit, because that was in some weird way, maybe not in an appropriate way like you say, but it was just them not wanting to offend a woman by doing it. And, you know, instead of just, we need to just be willing to not back down on good habits of a good society, and certainly Christian habits, but even if we're just talking about society, don't back down. You know, just say, this is how we're acting. So teach your sons that. Teach your daughters to accept it. And why? You know, teach them, talk about it. And I think it all just goes back to just healthy relationships, you know, in homes and families. And there are people who can teach that, even if you don't have a dad in the home, or, you know, whatever your case may be, there are people who can teach this, and we need to revive it just so it, you know, I think we need to spend more time, instead of lamenting about how bad society is, just doing what we know we need to do and not being afraid to do it. You know?
Yeah, like, and you said something there about, you know, teaching our young ladies to accept it. I think that's huge. And because it builds the young men up too. But it starts there with, you know, the young ladies. But I'll just say this, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong or kind of fill in the blanks here. Yes, I'll say this at the outset. Yes, there are some young men and men who can be gentlemen, you know, outwardly, and be scoundrels. You know, I understand mm-hmm. that. But I think if we taught young ladies when they become dating age and or courting age, where it happens mm-hmm. to be, to look for the kind of men who do these kinds of things, can there be some scoundrels who do these kind of things? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But overall, if you look for a young man or a man who does these types of things and, you know, honors her in that way, she's probably not going to have to worry so much about what kind of husband he's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be perfect? No, he's a guy. I mean, he's a human. But if he has that kind of mindset that, you know, we're only on our second date and, you know, and I make sure I'm open the door for every time we go anywhere, that's a signal he's been taught something right. And if he's, I don't want to twist scripture here, but it's kind of those, if he's faithful in the little things, you know, mm-hmm. and you do kind of see that where, you know, men who treat their wives with this kind of level of respect and things, you don't usually have to worry about them running out of their wives, you know, or even being abusive of their wife. You know, that just doesn't happen because they're so elevating the woman in the little things, the big things take care of themselves.
I think, and it's just such a sign of, it's such a sign of disrespect, you know, that I cannot wrap my head around why anyone would think it's a bad thing to just not care and treat a woman just like you would treat your buddy. You know, why is that? And women let it happen, too. I mean, even if you're not talking about chivalry necessarily, you just see, you know, especially, I mean, this happens not just with young people, but, you know, if you're thinking about younger people and these girls, a lot of times they don't even know, because they've not been taught, they don't even know what they should expect from a guy, how he should treat her. And they don't, it says so much, I think, into their feelings of self-worth. And I think that's why I just think it's so silly and illogical that we've had this big to-do about, you know, women and respect and we don't need, we're strong enough, and all it has done is weaken women. It's weakened them. They won't even get to the point in their mind to accept, you know, someone showing them a little bit of honor. You know, mm-hmm. they just can't, because it's just the opposite has happened. It's all that's happened. Women are, you know, just not treated respectfully at all. They're looked upon as objects a lot of times in the society as a whole. And instead of women looking at that saying, this is a shame, you know, they want to, you know, we've talked about discussions about women, this is getting off topic a little bit, but just, you know, modesty and in dressing in a certain way and not being immodest. And anytime you say that, anytime you say anything about a woman being immodest, you're going to have somebody yelling out that, you know, a woman ought to be able to dress whatever way she wants. And, you know, like, what you're doing is harming women, because all that's happened is that women more and more have been looked upon as some kind of, you know, they're not even human. They're just an object, because all their whole purpose then is just to please, you know, men and you know, physically and all of that. And it's not even helping women. But, I mean, if you just think about stuff, it's so sad that the opposite has happened. You know, when you say you don't have to be chivalrous to women, and when they, you know, they're not expected to be modest anymore, you're just treating them as an object after that. I don't know. It's not honoring at all. It doesn't make a woman look stronger. It actually makes her look a lot weaker, I think.
It can, for sure. There's no doubt about that. We've done one time. But it's one we're very passionate about, yeah. And one that I need to do better about in some ways. Some of those manners I need to do better about. But overall, it's one of those things that we are passionate about the overall subject, whether I'm perfect at it or not, because it's more than just the Knight's Code. You need to go back to our original, you know, definition here. There's a biblical ethic behind it. And when that respect between the genders, or, you know, for one gender to the other, is dying, that's a biblical ethic dying. And that's not a good sign. It's not a good sign for society. It's not a good sign for, you know, our own individual souls, for that matter. But on a larger scale, it's just not good for society when that ethic, you know, that undergirds all this is eroding away and leaving. And it is, somewhat rapidly, it seems. So we will sign off, but not before saying, you made a strawberry cobbler from our own strawberries. I had to give a garden update because there's not much of a garden this year because we're moving.
Yeah. Strawberries from our own garden.
Yeah.
And a yummy strawberry cobbler.
We're picking lots of strawberries.
Mm-hmm.
First time ever. Now we're going to move. They start coming in, right?
Yep.
But we're picking,
third year.
We're picking 10 or 12 a day. It's awesome. But I don't eat many strawberries. That kind of hurt my stomach, but I did get a bite of that strawberry cobbler, and it was good.
Mm-hmm.
Really good.
Thank you, mister. I don't think I like fruit and bread together. And I said, you're missing out.
I don't. But these are fresh.
You just admitted you
These
did.
Are fresh strawberries. Oh. There is a difference.
A lot of fruit pies are made from fresh fruit. You're backing yourself into a hole. Expand your horizons. Expand your dessert horizons.
I will. But I'll eat chocolate chips later. Anything else we need to say before we sign off here? If you would like to see the article we've been talking about, the link can be found in the show notes for this episode, and those can be found at fawnfamily.com/POD104, fawnfamily.com/POD104. Leah, I love you.
Love you.
And we plan to be back with you again in 2 weeks, we hope. As we say, our schedule may change a little bit. We hope not, as far as most of the time. We know 1 week we're going to have to be away during the summer for Maywood. That's coming up too. Hate to remind you that, but it's true. But most of the time, we should be on schedule. So we hope to be back with you again in 2 weeks. Until then, remember, your family can go to heaven. Just make sure you go there together.